Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Thriving Adoptees podcast. Today, I'm delighted to be joined. I'm spluttering over my words. How many times have I said that? 600 times, right? Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Karen Kunst. Looking forward to our conversation today, Karen.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for
Yeah.
having me on your show. That's great.
You're very welcome. Pleasure's all mine. I was saying to Karen, it's been a busy day releasing the 600th episode of Thriving Adoptees and recording three in one afternoon, which is, I think, it's a first. I don't know if I've ever done three anyway, but we've had an aunt by adoption who is also an adoption attorney. We've had an adoptive mum, and today and now with Karen we've got a fellow adoptee, so all different perspectives from three different people, very different people, different roles. So from your perspective then, Karen, what comes to your mind when you hear the name of the podcast, when somebody says Thriving Adoptees to you?
It makes me think that we're happy and feeling fulfilled and reaching our potential and going beyond that potential and doing really well in life.
I had a bit of a realization last week in terms of, like, you say happy, right? In terms of the feelings of thriving. And it was almost like, what, I've done 598 episodes and really never thought that it's about how we feel, rather than about what we achieve or what we do, or how we overcome trauma, or how we move from surviving to thriving, or all these kind of doing things rather than feeling things.
For me, it's a lot about how I feel. And it's interesting because in the release of my most recent book, I've come across a lot of opportunities, and they've been opportunities that really take me outside of my comfort zone. So I find myself being kind of scared and anxious a lot in those opportunities. But the interesting thing is that when I go through that and I do those opportunities, they are actually ones that are growing me, and they are taking me to maybe the next level in my life, and I'm becoming an even better person than I was before. So for me, thriving also is a lot of like growing. And in that growing, sometimes there's a level of being uncomfortable when we're taken outside of our comfort zone. So I find thriving really interesting because it's a lot of really good feelings of being happy and fulfilled, but it's also like always growing, which isn't a static thing.
As you were saying that, the metaphor that came to my mind was growing pains.
That's right. I think to reach our potential or maybe surpass like the limiting beliefs, because I know where I'm headed is ultimately meant for me, but there is a part of me that has some limiting beliefs. So when I'm able to like be brave enough to go past that, then I'm really thriving. Like then I'm growing and becoming even more than maybe what I thought I could be. And to me, that's not just like surviving or being content. That's thriving.
And I guess there's a difference between, so the growing pains happen while physically, that happens while in the process of the growth. But you're also talking about, I think, a little bit of anxiety before the growth as well as pain in it. Do you see what I mean?
Well, it's the stepping outside of the comfort zone with opportunities like even this, like speaking, that would be something that typically before I would be like, no, I'm shy, or there's other people out there that would do a better job than me. But I know that I want to, and then I push myself to do it, and then I do it, and I do good at it, and I'm like, oh, hey, I can do that, and it opens up my world to more things.
Yeah. And I guess sometimes, writing has been a retreat for us, or a safe place for us when we're a kid, right? I'm not talking about myself here. I this wasn't me, but I've interviewed a lot of adoptees that have written the memoirs, right? And other people from the adoption constellation who have written. And some have explained that. Described to me that writing was a way of getting out of themselves. It was get processing tricky feelings, or an escape place, or something that they could do in a solitary space. It was a retreat for them. And I also think, but then to promote what you've written, you've got to get out. And in front of people, and that's not always easy if you've kind of considered yourself an introvert.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I would.
did you consider yourself an introvert?
Oh yeah. I still am an introvert. I'm an introvert that I feel like I have a calling to do this, and I would never want to turn away opportunities, so I'm pushing myself to do whatever comes my way, and that is growing me because I feel like it's meant for me, but in the same hand, it's uncomfortable, but that's not necessarily bad. Like I think that sometimes our fears hold us back a little bit, and if we can push through that, we can surpass what we believe for ourselves sometimes.
Yeah, so you're talking about complexity in a world where we don't want complexity. We want not we like the culture doesn't want complexity. It wants black or white, or it doesn't want
Yeah.
gray.
And that's what I think is interesting about thriving. Like there's an element there of like for me anyways, it's not necessarily being comfortable. It's expanding and growing, and in that there is a level of being uncomfortable.
Yeah. So there was a time on the podcast, maybe last year, maybe the year before, where we narrowed down. I narrowed down. So I've been going down the kind of the thriving path, and I thought, okay, well, and then I've done loads of interviews with adoptees, and I thought, okay, right, what everybody wants is healing. So let's shift from thriving to healing as a focus and see where that goes. And some people didn't like the word healing. Some adoptees didn't like the word healing. And when I asked them what they preferred instead, often they would say growing.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
And these are all just jumping off points for the conversation. It doesn't really matter. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really matter where we start from. It's kind of.
And I think that goes hand in hand. Like if you're growing, then I think you probably are in a way healing. It's interesting because when I went through my adoption reunion journey, like before I did that, I remember telling myself, like, I know I have to do this, but I don't know how I'm gonna do it, because I was so scared to take that step. And when I wrote my newest book, I figured my adoption reunion journey was pretty settled and done, and that's why I wrote the book. And then in putting the book out into the world, I've gotten a lot of positive opportunities come my way, but they get me to step outside my comfort zone, and I find myself asking that same question, like, I know I need to, but I don't know how. And how, in the end, it's just, being brave despite being scared, and faith plays into it too, that I don't know that I don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
So in there's healing and growing all at the same time, and I find that before any of that happens, there's an element of being scared of the unknown, or being a little bit uncomfortable, and pushing through it.
Yeah. I think that the how-to question, I don't ask how very often on this podcast, right? Because when I listen to podcasts tackling deep stuff, like how always seems to be reductionist to me. It's like, I don't know how. Like, it's more about faith than it is about logic, to kind of reflect some of the things that have been landing as I listen to you, right? And I try to think of analogies like I do. I mean, like, like last week, listeners, Karen had a bit of a sore throat. So instead of doing the podcast, we had a look at this Thrive framework that I have distilled from the listening. And so Karen knows that I like a metaphor. Because the Thrive program is full of metaphors. When I think of how-tos, I think of chemistry experiments as a kid, right? So you've got to there's you've got to do an experiment, right? So you start off with your list of ingredients, not ingredients, your equipment list, right? So you've got a Bunsen burner, you've got a fireproof thing and the base, whatever it is. Then you've got your test tubes and you've got your different chemicals, right? So you've got your equipment list, and then you've got your procedure, right? So did they teach chemistry the same in Canada? Because you're Canada, you're not in the States, you're in Canada. Did they teach it the same way? You did an equipment list and a procedure,
Basically.
right?
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah. So it was like, when I think of how to's, I think of, right, you do step one and then you do step two and you do step three, and we're kind of brought up to think that's how life works. Yeah. Right. So I'll go to school, I do well at school, I go to university, I get a job, I'll buy me. Like we tend to think of life in these how to and these steps and these processes. But it's just it's not about the tricky stuff, isn't about the logic. It isn't about there
No.
is no how to's.
That's right. And sometimes that can be pretty scary, especially when you feel like you don't know how to take the next step. Like when the next step feels really, really difficult for you, or almost impossible. Like I don't like to say that word, but something that you feel like is really, really difficult. Then you ask yourself, well, like, how am I going to do this? And there really, I mean, there was never really any answer besides just, having faith, relying on that, and having the bravery, to walk through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the I mean, are you talking about faith in yourself? Are you talking about faith in God, faith in some higher power? are you, what are you talking about?
Faith in God. In those moments where I felt like maybe I wasn't strong enough, that's where I went. And that's when I walked through those moments where I felt like I couldn't do it alone or I wasn't strong enough. I could rely on that, and that gave me that little extra bit where I could know that it was going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you mentioned reunion a couple of times, and one of the things that you said, it seemed to me that there was an imperative behind that. It was not a should I not? It was like, I've got to do this. Is that it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's correct. I personally, for myself, as I got older, I knew inside myself that I had to answer those questions to move forward in my life without them holding me back.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted, no matter how scary it was for me. I knew I had to do that to become the person that I wanted to become.
There was no option.
There was no option. I was terrified. And like I said, I had no idea how I was gonna. The hard part for me was initiating it. I did not know how I was gonna be brave enough to initiate it.
You
And
mean to
then
start the
that.
process?
Yes.
Yeah. Not so the what do I do first rather than what happens when I meet my biological family? Yeah,
Yeah,
it's the
no,
first step.
it was the first step,
The
and
first step.
I didn't want to hurt my adoptive family.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything that they had done. It was all internal struggles, and I think that there was a part of me that felt like if I brought this out into the open, that I would be displaced in a way. Like that maybe I wouldn't. What if I lost my family, or what if I didn't know where or felt where I belonged, or like I would f it was the unknown that was like really scary to walk into and to start.
Yeah. Can I just take us a step back? What was there a moment when you realized that you had to search? Or was it, do you remember a distinctive moment that you thought, I have to search? Or was it more something that, you'd been thinking about it for a long time and there's no specific point at which it became a no-brainer.
I remember one night, I don't think it was triggered by anything. I was ready, and then I prayed on it. And the next day, what I prayed for was an opportunity to arise where it would initiate the process, because I was having a hard time feeling comfortable initiating.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I prayed on it, and by no stretch, the next day an opportunity arose where that was brought up, and my mom had asked me at that time. She's like, "Are you interested in answering some of these questions and finding out about your birth family?" And I said, "Yeah." And then she gave me a letter that had come from my birth mother that was given to them when they felt that I was ready. And it was that letter, because it was a very positive letter where my birth mother had said like that she would like to meet me one day. That letter, in that moment, I knew that I had to search. And it was on. I was like, I got to do this now. And I feel like it should, like, I wish I had done it. I felt like I wish I had done it sooner, but the timing was right because that's when it happened. But like there was an urgency when I got that
Yeah.
letter.
And how
Yeah.
old were you then, Karen?
I would have been around 21 or 22.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And not because I'm a gentleman, aren't supposed to ask, right, how old a lady is. Anyway,
Oh, yeah, no, I don't mind at all. I'm turning 40 this year.
okay, right. Just, but
Blows
just
my
for the
mind.
sake of
But
perspective on the
yeah, absolutely.
yeah.
So, yeah, I
Yeah.
was 22 when I went on the reunion journey, and I'm 40 now, and I've just written my second book. And I wrote it because I felt like that whole reunion process and all of that was really settled in my life. And I could write on it from a very settled perspective on it at almost 40.
Okay. So I guess I've got to ask you a little bit more about the reunion itself. So
Sure.
yeah, how did it go?
It went really good. Everyone was really welcoming. So I met my oh, I could talk about this for a long time. The whole trying to find them was like trying to find a needle in a haystack. That was really interesting. I had went through the government program where if they had the information from the birth parents, that they would try to do the reuniting process. But the information they had was outdated, so then I took on searching myself, and I was just and my mom, my adoptive mom, just for people to know who was helping me, but she helped me get all the phone numbers too, and I would just ring people up and be like, "This is who I'm looking for." And then eventually I got my biological aunt on the phone, and she was like, "Oh, that's my sister." And she hooked us up on the phone, and I think it wasn't long after that that I flew out there to meet my biological mom, and I met my half brother and aunts and uncles and cousins, and then shortly after that I met my biological father, who lived in the same city that I did, and yeah, they were all really welcoming. There, of course, was a lot of hurdles in a sense. Like it wasn't easy. They were like strangers. So I mean, I had to get to know all these brand new people, and it's a little different than meeting strangers because there's obviously a lot of feelings attached to these people from both sides. So it's a really unique situation. It took a long time for things to kind of settle out, to know where like everyone was gonna fit in my life and how I was going to feel with all these new relationships. And I had a lot of expectations on what those relationships would look like. And I think that was the biggest hurdle. Was coming to terms with the expectations that I had created my whole life, and then what the reality was and how that was different, and how their lives were different than my life, some of the like choices on how they live their life, and there was a lot of differences. So there was a lot of things to work through that it was quite difficult in times, but in the sense of, I mean, everyone was really welcoming, so that was a
Yeah.
positive thing.
And can
Yeah.
you give us an example of how the expectations weren't met? What was
Weren't
different to
matched.
what was different
So
to your expectations?
I've done a lot of reflection on this, and my expectations that I had, specifically from my birth mother, were a reflection of some of the best qualities that I had, and the qualities of my parents. So it was all really good stuff. I had made this image of this person that I thought, was a lot like me, but like stronger and wiser, and all these really kind of I mean, it's not fair to put those expectations on somebody, and it's pretty unobtainable. I had really high expectations. So there was a clash there, not a clash, but I had to come to terms with the fact that my expectations weren't realistic, and that it's better to accept people for who they are and not expect certain things from them. Like, 'cause I,
Yeah,
yeah.
you're being
Yeah.
quite polite about this, Karen.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, yeah, I'm very self-aware about it as well.
I've
You're
done a lot
being,
of reflecting on it for sure. Yeah.
yeah, because I kind of listeners, I kind of know the punchline to this one, so
Right. Yes.
I know, but the punchline is a great one, and it is a it's a happy, not an ending, but it's a happy stage in the process. But I get the sense that there was a bit of tough stuff before that.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of tough moments for me. I had to do a lot of reflecting and a lot of like soul searching and just kind of protecting myself from being hurt, but in a way I was the one that had set myself up for that hurt too. So like
Yeah,
there
because
was a
you.
point where
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you.
I had to take a step back at one point to really like reflect on what was important and where I belong and where I fit in everybody's lives, and that maybe my presence in my adoptive family was always like joyful, and they made me feel so loved, and stepping into my biological, like meeting them and stuff, I kind of expected the exact same kind of position. And of course, that's not going to happen because they're not my adoptive family. They're like, right? So my expectations were skewed, but it just took time
Yeah.
to settle with that. Yeah.
So the self-reflection piece was about the realizations that you'd been, your expectations had been off kilter.
Yeah. But it's interesting because those expectations and who I had thought that I was looking for, should I just get to the
Yeah,
punchline right
well,
now?
yeah.
Because that very clear image of what I thought I was looking for, through all the hurdles and stuff in my life, not just in my adoption reunion, because there was other things in my life too that were very difficult and caused me to grow as a person. But that image and expectations of who I was searching for ended up being the woman that I had become through everything, which is so interesting to me, because I can reflect back when I was younger and thinking about going on the adoption reunion journey and knowing that I had to become the woman that I wanted to become, and I didn't know who she was, but I ended up becoming who I thought I was searching for, but I had deflected it onto
Yeah.
other people. So I don't
Yeah.
know if it's like I became that person because I had envisioned it, and that's what I became. It was like a guiding force, or if somehow I knew that this was the journey I had to go on to be this person that I was always meant to be, but I found that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people talk about visioning, don't they? You know, people talk
Yeah.
about, like, I remember, you know, having a coach. People would say things like, you know, having a coach that was going like a business coach, but then you'd get into sort of, you'd get some of them would get you into kind of bigger than your business, right? So like be not just that part of your life. And people start throwing around quotes like from people like Gandhi saying, be the change that you want to see in the world, and horizons kind of expanded, and you see those pictures of it's like the Russian dolls, but you're growing into the bigger.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's so interesting because like I'm adopted, I personally had a reason to envision the, and that was my avenue, was I was adopted and I was always envisioning what my biological origins, what these people would be like, and they were a reflection of my amazing parents and how they loved me, and so all these really good qualities. I don't, so I had this reason to envision these things when I would I have envisioned it before? Like if I wasn't adopted, I don't know if I would have envisioned what my future self would
Yeah.
look like. Or so it's kind of cool to think about it in that way, that like I spent a lot of time envisioning this person or this
You're
image. And
thinking it into being. Some people would say that,
right.
but you weren't thinking into being for yourself.
No, but it ended up being what happened, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm
And
exactly that person.
there's a mystery around it though, isn't there? You can't
Yeah.
reduce it. You can't like trying to
No.
reduce it to, oh, how did you do that, Karen? Would be, you know, that's why I don't ask the how question very often, because
Yeah.
when I hear it, I just think that's the wrong question. You can't explain it. For some reason, I want to share a little story about that when it because really brought it home for me. Like we, in terms of the mystery, it's not about logic, you know. Like
Right, yeah,
it's
absolutely.
not a lot of logic. So it's not about, you know, understanding how brain chemistry works and the different parts of the brain. And you know, when people reduce to talk about adoption and trauma and stuff like that, and you say, well, that's not what it's about, you know, like it's not, yeah,
Right.
it's not about. So I was listening to it's a really popular podcast. It's called the High Performance Podcast, and it's run by two British guys. One's a sports commentator and one's a sports psychologist, coachy kind of guy, right? They were interviewing the guy's name's just gone out of my head. He's a South African rugby captain, and he was the first black South African rugby captain to lead them, South Africa, to the World Cup. And I'm really annoyed that I can't remember the guy's name.
Interview.
So the guy was talking about character. And he was talking, and he'd put his heart and soul and a lot of time and effort and like walking 5 miles or running 5 miles to his training every day. It was a big commitment and a big, I guess, a leap of faith for him. You know, like that
Okay, yeah.
he was doing this, right? And he was talking about character and who he was, and his story and how he got on with his teammates and all the stuff like this. So it's all really big picture. And then the sports shrink said, so something like, so how would you describe your leadership strategies? Some word like this. And the guy just said, it's just who I am.
Right.
And the sports shrink guy was taken aback for a second and then went on to, but the penny didn't drop for the guy that he was the guy was being really reductionist.
Right.
And this this captain who had led the team to some was being was talking about big expansive things and going to identity. So if I put it in, put it in a sentence, the question, the guy asking the questions was talking about strategies, and the captain was talking about identity. They weren't even in the same, they weren't even in the
No,
same
different.
ballpark.
Yeah,
They weren't in
absolutely.
the same ballpark. But the penny didn't drop for the guy that he was playing in the wrong ballpark.
Okay, yeah.
You know? And so whenever, you know, the how-tos and it's just it's the bigger stuff is way bigger than
Yeah.
how-tos. Like,
Yeah, and
let's
that's
not
right.
reduce it.
That's right. And I guess that's the important thing of why I bring that up when I find myself asking how, is that it's okay to feel like you don't know how. Like sometimes we don't know how we're gonna do something, but we can still do it. We can still walk through it. We can still be brave enough to try or rely on faith to get something through something when we don't know how we're gonna do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you were talking, I picked up my phone and I was about to Google the name of this rugby captain, right? And I'm falling into my own trap. I'm falling, like, it doesn't matter what the guy's called.
That's true.
You know,
Yeah, that's funny.
it's about the idea, not about the
Yeah.
specifics of what his name, other than being slightly embarrassing for me that I can't think.
I'm sure it'll come to you right after the
It will. It'll be at the
podcast.
back of my head.
Yeah.
As soon as I hit the stop button, it'll
Yeah.
pop into my head. But we're talking about size, and you know, I came up with that Russian doll analogy about, and you talked about growth, and so I think that's what. I think that's what prompted somewhere the Russian dolls, you know, the stacks of dolls where they, so you're becoming a bigger doll.
Yeah, absolutely. And
But
like I think
we're not talking about your physical height or your,
right.
or, you know, or putting on a few extra pounds or anything like that. Obviously, we're not talking about
Yeah. Yeah,
that. That's
that's
just nuts.
yeah.
Right. Okay. I don't know why. I started talking about that. But growth, right? Growth in what you're capable of.
That's I feel like that's thriving. Like when a plant thrives, the plant is growing more than what its potential is maybe seen as, or what you think it's going to do, but it's thriving, it's doing better, it's growing more. And that's how I see myself. Like I feel like I'm thriving and I feel fulfilled and I'm growing and I'm trying to make good out of my life. And there's a lot of moments where I'm uncomfortable, because I'm stepping outside my comfort zone. So,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, so it
And
is growth.
we, yeah. And we don't normally talk about this stuff, sort of stuff, do
No, not very often. Because
we? We.
think, like you said, in today's world, comfort is kind of prioritized. But like being comfortable and peaceful and everything is just like easy going. But I feel like yes, that's nice. We need that to thrive as well. But to really thrive, I think growing is a part of it, and becoming better, and that can be uncomfortable.
I remember some point in my business, whole business, I thought I only actually learn from the bad stuff. I only learn in
Right.
the hard times.
A lot of the lessons, like the really big lessons, come from the hard times, and I think that's why they're so hard, is because it is a lesson. If it was easy, would we be learning? Like, there wouldn't be something there to learn if it was easy. We would already know it. So the difficult times are showing us something that we have yet to learn in some instances. And in that sense, I am extremely grateful for the difficult times that I went through, because they've shaped the person that I am today, made me more compassionate. I like all in many, many ways, have made me a better person. And a lot of that comes from reflecting on the difficult times too, and like seeing what I can take from it.
You've mentioned that a couple of times that you wrote the took you a while. Well, you didn't say this, but you said you finished the second book, or you said something that I didn't. You did the reflection. You did the reflection before you wrote the book, essentially.
Yeah,
It took a while.
I was settled. Like my adoption journey was really settled when I wrote my second, like my newest book. And it's interesting because, I mean, the adoption journey is influencing me again in a different way. I'm still growing from it because of the opportunities that are now coming from my book. So I'm learning from it in a different way, but I'm still growing from it for sure. Yeah.
What growth do you see ahead?
It's like it's all, yeah, personal growth, just really doing things that I'm scared of, becoming more out extrovert. Like going from an introvert to being more comfortable talking in front of people, talking about complex, like this stuff is, it's complex to talk about. So like it I, and I'm I would I wouldn't have said that I was really good on my feet talking about complex things. Like I'm good at writing, and writing, there's a sense of being able to think about things before you put them down and reflect on them, whereas speaking, it's just there. So that in a way takes me out of my comfort zone when I'm having to do that. But I appreciate doing it. I had a radio interview not too long ago, and I was terrified to do it. So outside of my comfort zone. But after it was done, it is one of the coolest moments of my life. Like it's a treasure in my life. So the amount of fear I had is equal to the amount of how much I appreciate the experience of actually doing it. And I could have very easily been like, no, I'm uncomfortable doing it. I'm scared to do it. I don't have the skill to do it, and not have done it. But I'm grateful that I did. And faith really played into that, because I felt like I didn't know how I was gonna do it. But I did.
Did.
Yeah.
Have you mentioned meaning in the last 50 minutes, or am I just imagining that? Because I haven't written down on my notes.
Meaning?
Yeah. Did
Have I
you
mentioned meaning?
mention meaning, or am I just imagining it?
Oh, I might have. I am not
Yeah.
sure. Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, do you see meaning and growth? You said faith a couple of times. You talked about growth. Does meaning play into this for you?
Like what it all means to me? Like,
Well, so for me, a meaning thing that happened for me last Friday, I was doing a training and I was talking about the fact that I'd read The Primal Wound, and it had taken first, my first reaction to reading The Primal Wound was relief. Then after the relief, this explains things. And then after that phase ended, there was a phase where I thought, I'm stuck with it. I'm stuck with this primal wound. And then there was a realization that I wasn't stuck with the primal wound. And so I can see the meaning. I can be grateful for the setback,
Oh, yeah.
because without the setback, it wouldn't have. I wouldn't be doing the
Yeah.
podcast. I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be doing the podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah, I
So it brings meaning to pardon my French, the shit, right? It brings meaning to the shit.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, definitely the meaning for me is the person that I've become because of all the hard things and where I'm at in my life. Like I wouldn't change anything because I am fulfilled and feel like I'm thriving, and I appreciate the person that I've become. And it was like a workout for my soul, like just always working on myself and becoming stronger from it. So there's definitely, I can take a lot of meaning and be grateful for the hurdles and the difficulties that I've been faced with in my life, because they've made me a better person. And I think, yeah, it's I don't know. I was going to say, I think it's a choice, but I don't know. I don't know if it's as easy as that. But it took a lot of reflection, and wanting to see the good in difficult times.
It feels like a realization rather than a choice to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a perspective on things. I it's that's a
Yeah.
tricky one. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be talking about a similar sort of thing this afternoon on a previous interview. I think perspectives come to us. I don't think we make them happen.
Right. Yeah. And I guess I'm grateful for how I've always been able to see things in a constructive way for myself, like to always be able to naturally find gratitude. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, 'cause I
Gratitude's a funny thing, isn't it, in the adoptive
it is.
community.
Yeah, that's right. It's,
I always dis whenever I get anywhere, I get near it. Sorry if you've heard this before, listen. I think about forced gratitude versus spontaneous gratitude, right? So gratitude from without, and gratitude from within.
Right, absolutely.
And I've never had that. I've never been subject to external gratitude. As in, what I mean by that, my parents have never said to me, the idea is freaking laughable. Well, you should be grateful that we adopted you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But
Yeah, absolutely.
some adoptees have had that.
Right.
Whether it's been as directly spoken like that in those short words, or it's been more of a unmentioned belief or an unmentioned expectation.
Yeah, I really like what you said about gratitude from within. Like, the gratitude comes from a place where the growth happened, or there's been some sort of like shift, and that's where the gratitude like grows from. It's not something that's put onto you.
It's like happiness. It's an inside job.
Yeah, that's right. I totally agree. I think so too.
I heard something last week that just stopped me dead in my tracks. And it was, I think it's five words. Happiness comes from our being.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, I like that.
Or gratitude comes from our being as well, to tweak it slightly.
Right.
But being told to be grateful,
Yeah.
being told to be anything, when has that ever worked?
No, it
You know,
doesn't.
like.
And I feel like that. Same with like sometimes I'm asked like what advice I can give, and I'm just like, I remember when I was given advice for like my adoption reunion journey and stuff, and although it was very wise and correct looking back, it didn't ever like quell the need for me to have to go on my journey and figure it out on my own. Like the words from somebody else never filled that place where I had to learn that for myself, even though they might be accurate. I had to figure that out for myself. So yeah, being told to be something doesn't always.
Or told to do something, told to be
That's right.
something, F told to
Yeah.
feel something. Yeah, it's
That's
yeah.
right. Because like one of the things was like, don't have expectations or be prepared
Okay, I
that
won't
way.
then.
Like, yeah,
Okay, I won't
exactly,
then. All
right?
right, thanks for the tip. Right,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's
I'm
right.
just going to put them all to one side. I've been
Yeah.
thinking. I've been having these expectations for the last 20 years, but now you've said that, that makes it pretty.
Yeah, I don't need to have them anymore.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, that. All right. I'll just get rid of them. Thank you. Hey, presto, they're
Yeah.
gone. You know,
Yeah, that so that would be like gratitude.
that would be like bullshit. Yeah. We can't just. Yeah, we
Yeah,
can't
it's a
change
journey.
that. We can't make that change happen.
Yeah, that's right.
So, is there anything that you'd like to share that I've not asked you about, Karen?
Just that, like, when we're talking about thriving, I had a lot of support and love from my adoptive family. They're my family, but again, I just say adoptive family so that everyone knows who I'm referring to. But that support really built a foundation where, even though I was scared and had my own things to kind of overcome to so that I could thrive, I always knew that I was going to be okay because of that foundation that they had given me, and that I have to always be really, I'm very aware and grateful for that portion and how it's helped me to thrive and not let any of my fears hold me back or any of the questions that I needed answered, hold me back. They've always helped me and supported me in doing that stuff. So I feel like that was a very big contributing factor to me thriving today as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it's I think poor parenting is I think what sometimes we do is we as adoptees, right? I've got this feeling that we blame a lot of stuff that's we blame relinquishment for a lot of stuff that is actually poor parenting.
Right, okay.
for poor adoptive parenting, to make it clear.
Right. Yeah, right.
I think, and we'll never know, right? How
Yeah,
this, I
that's right. Yeah, and
it, I'm regretting even saying this, actually, but where's the science?
oh
There's no way, but.
yeah, it's, and it's tricky, and I just like, and I feel very grateful that like I had that really good foundation, and because it could have very easily been that I let my fears hold me back, and it could have been a very different story for me, where I didn't go on that journey, and I didn't push myself, and I didn't become the person that I am today. And I'm very grateful for every part of that journey, from my family, and then the hurdles and struggles, and it's all contributed to me thriving today. So yeah, it's cool.
That's cool. Thanks, Karen. Thanks, listeners.
Oh
Take
yeah,
care.
thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Simon.